papers. We really finished the Indian that we were doing in the last Torah from Arsat Chi. Each one of these Torahs in Perek Vav and Hatchia, each one is like a whole big piece, a big chunk of Rav Kook's Mahalachim and where we're holding these days, so it's hard to be mitzamtzem. But I'm anxious to ready to return to the Sefer. So we're on page... Oh, the little one has different pages. We're in Perek Vav, Seif Gimel. Perek Vav, Seif Gimel, where it says, Atshuva El Ateva Yisraeli. Now here too we could have done the entire piece, Nar Satchiyas, Seif Samo Zayim, but... Honestly, I don't really know what he's talking about. Yeah. To tell you the truth, I don't understand it. I went over it like a few times. I have a certain sense of what it is, but not that I'm comfortable enough to be able to teach it. We'll read the words. Rav Kook was a very, very big person, and he had his own language, and he had a mind that was a chiddush of a mind. Just try everything. I always say that everything that we learn is to try to understand what he's saying. But this one I tried, and I don't really understand. Okay, let's just read Seif Gimel. Then by Seif Dal we'll be able to come back to something that's more on earth. Gimel is way out there, but I don't want to skip it. So let's just read the words, and that's why I didn't focus that the whole Torah. There's a piece of a Torah. So I thought maybe in the context of the whole Torah it would be easier to understand, but it's not. The whole Torah is impossible to understand. Maybe if I'd been there to Selmishim, I could see Rav Avinair and ask him what it means. I don't know what it means. Hatshuva Lateva Yisraeli. Let's read the words in Gimel. You don't have it? Oh no, it's not on that page. That page is the next one. No, it's in the Sefer.
It's not
here. Yeah, just take a minute. We're going to get to that in a minute. The page that you have is not this one, it's the next, but it'll be in 5 minutes.
Ein Hein
is small. Ein Hein is small, Sefer Eretz Chayfis. So if you don't have the Sefer, just listen, and we'll get up to that page in a minute. Hatshuva Lateva Yisraeli, the return to the true nature of a Jew. The return to our true nature, ha'hileches u'mefa'emes, that is moving forward, mefa'emes, like throbbing, like a ringing, like a bell throbbing. V'soirus hatchia lo'umis v'sikveseh. This return to our true nature is being expressed in our times as this powerful awakening of nationalism and the hope to return to the land. Right, that's what the words mean. Achitavi is atshuva hashlema. So even though that's how we see it nowadays, with the great longing to return to the land, it's connected to what we were learning last time. The nature of a Jew, of course, is to be dovok tashem. The nature of a Jew is to be. It's to be Shabbos and mitzvahs and learning Torah and davening. That's the teva ha-Yisraeli. The teva ha-Yisraeli is to be kind and to be good and to be hardworking, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. All good things. That's the teva ha-Yisraeli. In our days, Rav Kook says, we see that there are a lot of Jews that are missing these things. We don't see Shabbos, we don't see mitzvahs, we don't see learning, we don't see davening. And even in terms of midas, a lot of unfavorable things that we find amongst ourselves, and without going into that more, we don't see the Teva HaYisraeli shining the way that it should. So, we know that. The natural Teva of a Jew is not shining properly. One of the hardest things that I had these conversations all the time over the years with Geirim and Bali Tshuva, is that there's such a gap between what they learn about the Jews and then when they meet Jews and they live with Jews, you know. So they often see there's a tremendous gap. Like there's the ideal Jew. When you learn in the Sefer, So, you know, somebody, some sweet Baal Tshuva is learning about the Rebbe of Zushi, and they think that the guy, you know, that the guy is going to, every single person in the grocery store is going to make him go ahead of him in line, you know. Like, everybody's a Rebbe Zushi, and they're all going to tell him how much they love him, and that you're good, and you're tzaddik. And they do that a little bit before you become frum, but once you become frum, it's like, you know, get in line. It's, you know, you're like everybody else. So a lot of the Baal Tshuva and a lot of the game, they're very, very disappointed when they see that there's a huge gap between the way the Torah talks about what Jews are and the Sforim say what Jews are and the way we sometimes behave, the way we carry ourselves and conduct ourselves. There's a space. So the Teva HaYisraeli, we don't see it as much as we would like. The natural Teva of a Jew, Midas and Avoida and Dveikas Bashem, and so we don't see it so clearly. But Rav Kook is saying that this tremendous, tremendous sudden need for Eretz Yisrael is a very great revelation of this Teva. It is a tremendous, tremendous revelation of this Teva, which we have seen, that even Jews who are far, far from Yiddishkeit, that they have an inyan with Eretz Yisrael. Although the truth is that nowadays there are many who are weak in that area as well. But when you go, especially when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you feel it so strongly. You have the chevra, the soldiers and the people, and the excitement over the... And in Rav Kook's time, there was all the chalutzim and what was happening, the hisoiris to come back to the land. So Rav Kook says that what is the hisoiris to come back to Eretz Yisrael? It's the hisoiris to return to the makor, to the teva Yisraeli, to come back to ourselves. Ourselves, who we are. And who we are is only in Eretz Yisrael. We could be who we are. So this, Rav Kook says, HaTshuva LaTeva Yisraeli, whereas many of the Gedolim, most of the Tzaddikim, were screaming and yelling about how all these non-religious Jews and the whole Zionist enterprise is tamei because of all the people that the Machal Shabbos, and that, you know, it's all true, it's bad stuff. But Rav Kook, as always, says that this is a siman of the Tshuva LaTeva Yisraeli. All of the great hopes that have been awakened in Jews to come back to the land and to establish ourselves in our land, even though unfortunately it often did not come with and doesn't come with Yiddishkeit and Torah Mitzvos and so on, but the hopes that Jews have to be once again with each other and to be in our land, all of this, Rav Kook says, Achitavi es HaTshuva HaShleima, that this is leading to complete Tshuva. It's a big stage, it's a big step in complete Tshuva. So all the other tzaddikim, not all, but most of the tzaddikim saw this as the anti-Yiddishkeit, as the antithesis of Yiddishkeit, as something dangerous that has to be stopped. Rav Kook saw this as the beginning of the service of the Am Yisrael to return to its Teva. And since, as the Maharal says in the very first parak of Tiferes Yisrael, Where the Maral says of Gvuras Hashem, the very first parak of Gvuras Hashem, the Maral says that of course the teva of the Jewish person is not to be in Golus. Gaal and Golus, Gaal is with an Aleph, Golus is Gimel Amid Hey, the Hey is dispersion, Aleph is everything coming back together, that's Gula. He says the nature of the Jewish people is to be together in Eretz Yisrael. That's our teva, is to be Nigalim, to be in a place of, just like every single thing, where it comes from, wants to be where it comes, where it belongs. It's its teva. So, where everybody was fighting against this whole sacrilegious, nationalistic, Zionistic project of that time, so Rav Kook, although as we spoke about last week, Rav Kook, who was just as big a kanoi against Chil Shabbos as everybody, he wasn't any less religious than all the tzaddikim. He was a tzaddik yisod olam. Nevertheless, he saw in this need to return the beginning of a return to Shabbos and a return to Hashem and so on. Because sof kol sof, why do Jews want to go back? Because of the teva Yisraeli. Because it's the teva of a Jew to go back. So he saw this. Achitavi is HaTshuva HaShleima. So this will bring, in the end, he said, this will bring to complete and real tshuva. The return to the land will bring to the return to Hashem. That's Rav Kook Mamish lived with that every minute. So everybody else is crying, getting all depressed about the matzah, which was really depressing, about how Jews were coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they were Mechal Shabbos and eating the veils and treifas and so on. And there are plenty of things over there now there's also to be depressed about. But Rav Kook saw that as the beginning of Tshuva. It takes time, like we learned in the last Torah. It takes time. The vision doesn't have the same... The vision has stronger wings than reality, right? Ha'achuza b'chochmas Yisrael. And that complete Tshuva is Achuza b'chochmas Yisrael, is completely bound to Chochmas Yisrael, to Torah. Complete Tshuva will be completely bound to Torah. The Tshuva that we see now, which just appears to be Zionism and nationalism, and appears to be patriotism, some kind of a secular thing that was going on b'chlal in the world at that time. Rav Kook says that's not what's happening with us. Our nationalism is not unholy. Our nationalism is not going to lead to fascism and to Nazism. Our nationalism is holy. And it's the beginning, it's the stirrings of the Jewish soul to come back to itself. And knowing the Jewish soul knows that how can I be myself? Al Admas Nechar. Ech Noshir Eshir Hashem. Al Admas Nechar, right? How can we sing the song of Hashem in Poland and in Russia? Ech Noshir Eshir Hashem Al Admas Nechar. How can we sing the song of Hashem when we're away from our place? So there's this desire to be back to our place. Ultimately, that's going to lead to singing the song of Hashem. But right now, it's bad. It's dressed up in nationalism and all kinds of, you know, secular Zionism is bad. But this was going to bring to complete Shuva that's bound to the Chochmas Yisrael, to the Torah. V'amuchedes ukshur b'chochmas elokim chayim al yayna. It's completely tied up with the wisdom, the Chochmas elokim chayim of the living God, the highest wisdom of the living God. It's going to have a happy ending. Shehi asherish ha'elyon eshel atar b'chol milu'eha. Because that Chochmas elokim chayim al yayna is the root, is the highest root of Torah being complete and being fulfilled in its entirety. Shebuchsav shebalpe, of the written Torah and of the oral Torah. Shelochok ha-kosu v'hamoser, of the law that's transcribed and transmitted. Shelkol tchuna yikara, ultimately that it's going to bring to the return to every precious tchuna, Mida and characteristic of the Jewish people. Ultimately, it's going to lead to all the Midas Taivas, to a complete observance of Torah Mitzvahs, and to every Tchun Yikara, all of this gentleness and kindness and fine Midas, and all of the good things that a Jew really, really, really is made up of, ultimately is all going to be revealed through the Tshuva that will come as a result of this return to the land. Okay, that's what I think it's saying. I don't know. It sounds like it. Weiter. Let's go weiter. Dalit. Now it's Kedai. Now this, like Reb Shaila does throughout the Sefer, he brings a part of the Torah. It's not the whole Torah. And sometimes he didn't have the whole Torah, and sometimes, for whatever reason, because he wanted to make this into a readable type of a likut, and he took out some of the more complicated parts just to get to the tamsis, but it's missing. So look inside the photos that it pays that you have, because that will help us to learn the Torah from the beginning. And then it finishes over here in Seif Dalet. That's not the beginning of this Torah. This Torah is in Yisrael Tchiyoso. It's in the Iris of Yisrael Tchiyoso Seif Yud Aleph.
The page.
You can turn it over as much as you like, but it's the page. Where it says, Chizuk Ha'olam Hazev Olam Haba, you have it, right? I don't think there are enough of them, but sorry, okay. Sorry. Okay, you know that Rav Kook had a very, very strong dislike for Christianity. Unlike what people made up, because they took out a sentence here and there from some of his Torahs, Rav Kook saw Christianity as the ultimate kfir and apikorsis and avodah zarah, as an extremely dangerous poison that has to be removed from the world, not to be removed, God forbid, in a violent way or anything, but it has to be removed from the world, has to be cured. Christianity is a terrible perversion of Yiddishkeit, a sickness that needs to be cured. It's all based upon Yiddishkeit, but it's perverted Yiddishkeit. And it's brought terrible suffering and darkness and confusion to the world. And he didn't hide his feelings about that. So this Torah is also a reaction to the sheker, to the distortion of the church. Lu'umas hashkofas anatsu. So Rav Avinir gives some background, so we'll be able to understand the Torah. It's a very, very helpful background. Lu'umas hashkofas anatsu. In contrast to the hashkofa of Christianity, hamnatekes ben ha'olam hazeh leben ha'olam haba. Now, one of the greatest evils that Christianity brought upon the world was that it separated between this world and the next world. I was talking about that last week of the Shabbos morning by the drasha. Some of you were there, Shabbos morning. I know it's a long time ago. I'll just remind you that, and we're getting older, that a guy can only bring a korban oila. An offering that's brought completely up on the mizbeach. The din is that goyma akum, goyma noidvim, v'noidvim, nedaviski yisrael. That goyma are allowed to bring korbanos. And Shlomo Melech says to Hashem, ki beisi beis tzedekah lechol ha'am. That Hashem said to Shlomo Melech that my place is a place for all nations. So there is an inyan of goyim bringing korbanos as well. Now from the beginning of time, the only korban that was able to be brought was a korban oila. What's an oila? An oila is a carbon that's burnt completely on the mizbeach. Goes up, Tasha. The whole thing is burnt. The whole thing. That's why it's called an oila. The whole thing goes up. Nobody else has any part of it. It goes up. Scar thing. So, that's the kind of carbon that was brought. When we came to Har Sinai, before Hashem gave us the Torah, there was a big chiddush. That for the first time we brought a carbon shlamim. Now a carbon shlamim is different. A carbon shlamim, part of the carbon, there are parts of the carbon that are given to the kohen, the chazek, the shayk. There are parts of the carbon that are given to the as a gift to the kahanim. And there's a part of the imurim and so on that are placed onto the mizbech and burned on the altar, go up. And then there's the other part that the family eats, that the Bailam eats, that you have. So that's a chiddush of that the rest of the world doesn't have such a musug of a carbon shlamim. So last week, I'm just reminding the chevra that we're here last Shabbos we were talking about. What does that mean? Il karvanu from Har Sinai v'lanasnu l'satar dayen. Does that mean that if we would have come to Har Sinai, even if Hashem wouldn't have given us the Torah, we would already be grateful for just being at Har Sinai? So I mentioned something that I had heard from my Rebbe in the name of Rav Meir Shapira. What's the inyan of being at Har Sinai? So that Rav Meir Shapira said that even before we got the Torah, we got this inyan of bringing a carbon shlama. So then the question is, what's the big dayenu for a carbon shlam? So here, Rav Kook, I told the story, but going through right now. But Rav Kook said, Rav Kook taught that the inyan of the shlamim is that a Jewish carbon, is not one that is entirely heavenly. It's not just an offering to God. It's also eating with your family and giving to a kohen. It's taking for yourself something, giving for your friend something, and giving for the Rebbeinu Shalom something, with the knowledge that when I give something to another Jew, that makes God happy. And when I give something to my kids' teeth, to my wife, that's the Rebbeinu Shalom Hasnachas. That's Avodas Hashem. It's not that there's a split between heaven and earth. The whole tachlis of Torah is that there's a meeting of heaven and earth. That's why it's called this carbon shlomim. Shlemus means that heaven and earth are together. It's a project of combining heaven and earth. Vayered Hashem al HaSinai, Hashem came down, Vayal Moshe, Moshe goes up, and that's what it means to be a Jew. So the carbon shlomim is a very, very powerful representation of what Yiddishkeit is all about, which means that when I eat, I should be eating in such a way where it's where my eating is in Avodas Hashem. Now, in the church, there was this, of course, there's a terrible split between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, if you're really, really a very, very from guy, if you're really a holy Christian, you don't get married. Right? That's the church, you don't get married. The holiest Galach, the holiest Christian in the world, the obvious of all Kedusha for them in the world is the Galach that sits in the Vatican, right? The one that wears a yarmulke. Now that Galach is so Kaddish, he's such a heilige person, that not only did he never get married, but he never even had a girlfriend. That's what they say. All right? Unlike most of the other Galachim that they're not supposed to get married in, but they have girlfriends. So the Galach in the Vatican never even had a girlfriend. Okay? And he's mufresh from this world. And for them, that's Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. That's the Tachlis HaKadusha. Because why? Because the union of a husband and wife is ugly. It's an ugly thing. What goes on between a husband and wife, it's ugly. It's dirty. So this split means that if you be'emes a holy person, you don't lower yourself into the filth of this world. The filthiest thing in this world to them is the inyan of a chasam kal. It's the filthiest thing, the dirtiest thing. You don't dirty yourself. So there came to be such a split. So then, what developed over time was that there would be these elite people of the church who looked up to as being, they were the real servants of God. And what about the rest of the tzibur? The rest of the tzibah, drunk peasants, nafim, mizanim, mashchisim, every hashchosim, every avadazar in the world, every hashchos in the world. And the only way you could get salvation is by believing in Isa Ish, who himself was a mizana, a manaiv, and you have to give money to the galach. And then you have eternal salvation. Because he died for your sins. Why can't you fix yourself? You can't fix yourself. Because there's no inyan of tshuva b'emes. You can only fix yourself if you give to the Galach and if you believe in Isa Ish, and he's going to save you from your sins. Why can't you take care of yourself? Why do you have to depend upon him to save you? Why can't you save yourself? Because you're a worthless, miserable worm. You're not able to bring yourself up out of the dirt because you're completely a ben olam hazeh. You're just a ben olam hazeh. And this world is a world of misery and darkness and filth. That's basically an introduction to Christianity. So that separation between the other world and this world is the cause of unbelievable pain and anguish and misery over the centuries. Because if you think about this a little bit, that is the nakuda that gives a person no hope, no meaning in life. It takes away everything from him. The carbon shlama means that this world is very, very, very holy. And that when you eat, if you make a bracha, it's a reach nicharach Hashem. Hashem smells that, it's gewaldi. It's wonderful. The story that I told last Shabbos, just to remind the ones that weren't here, is there was somebody that went to the Reb Chaim Volozhin, the yeshiva in Volozhin, needed money, and Reb Chaim Volozhin is sent out mishulachim to collect money. And a mishulach comes to a certain village, and in this state they're very, very poor, and they can't help, they only have a few pennies, but they tell him there's a very, very rich Jew that lives outside the village, but the guy never gives any tzedakah. And the Mashulah said, I'm going to get him. Anyway, the Mashulah goes after him. Finally, the guy invites him home, and nobody could believe that he actually agreed to invite the Mashulah to the house. Mishul goes to the house, and he's working on the guy, and finally the guy says, okay, okay. And for the first time, he not only does he agree to give charity, tzedakah, but he says, I'm going to give such an amount, it's going to cover the yeshiva, like the whole yeshiva for 5 years. Unbelievable amount of money. Except he made a condition with the Mishulach. Remember, what was the condition? What was the condition? No cut of the money for the Mishulach. Because he knows Mishulachim, that's how they make a parnasa, right? No percentage for the Mishulach. It's got to go. Everything kodesh for the guy's learning. And since he didn't trust the Mishulach, Mishulach said, well, that's how I make a living. He said, no. It's for the yeshiva. So the Mishulach said, okay, so good. So for the yeshiva. But the guy didn't trust the Mishulach, so he went to Volozhin, and he went to Reb Chaim Volozhin, and he says, Reb Chaim Volozhin, the Mishulach came, and he spoke to me, and I want to give this money for the yeshiva. Reb Chaim Volozhin says, Ashrech, Ashrech, what a mitzvah, it's unbelievable. He said, but I want to say, Rabbi, I want to say that I know the Mishulach is going to come, and he's going to come looking for money, and I made a condition that this is completely holy. I want this money to be for the yeshiva, not for this guy. So then the Reb Chaim Volozhin took the money, and the words that he said, remember what the words that he said? A carbon for a goy. Keep the money. It's a goyish a carbon. I don't want the money. It's not for our yeshiva. A carbon for a goy. So explain, what does that mean, a carbon for a goy? A carbon for a goy means you wanted this money. You think that the only way that this is pleasing to God is if you spend it on Torah learning. Kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. And you want to see that not a penny of this helps this guy with his rent, with his food, with his kids. Nothing. Just Kaddish. There's not going to be spent on Kneidlich and Cholent, right? It's going to be spent on Torah. So Reb Chaim Volozhin says, a carbon for a goy. A goyish a carbon. A musig of a goy, he was saying. It's a goyish a musig. Such a thing. I mean, Olam Hazeh, this guy's rent is not holy to you? This guy's Kneidlich are not holy to you? What kind of a thing is that? Who told you that his Shabbos meal is not Kaddish? Where'd you come to such a svar? He says it's a svar from a guy. It's a goyish svar, such a thing. That comes from Christianity, such a thing. Olam hazan, olam hava. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to the church what's the church. I don't remember the exact nusach, but that's the nusach. Something like that. Give to the church what's due to the church. Therefore, you come to the church, and everybody's very, very religious. I was thinking about, I didn't hear the president of State of the Union. I heard he said some very good things, and I read a little bit of what he said. He said some good things, but I always find it interesting. Like this guy gets up. Look, he's done a lot of wonderful things. I have tremendous hakaras hatov to the president because he's doing good things. But it's a little bit funny when he starts to talk like about religious, you know. He says, like at the end, you know, may God do this, may God do that. And I said, like, may God keep you, you know, may God keep you together with your wife and stop running around. You know, like, may God do a lot. There are a lot of good things that God should do. And it's not just, may God, you know, God bless America. Like, what about God bless, you know, God bless your way of living, your way of talking. God bless your midas, you know. There's a lot of good things that God brought to the world. But there's no steer at all. Like, it's always interesting to me. You can have the biggest manoeuvre. I'm not saying he's the biggest manoeuvre. He's on the list, but he's not the biggest. but you can have the biggest manoeuvre in the world, and then he starts to talk about, you know, God. Like, so it's interesting when they do that. You can have mushchosim. You can have he's not God forbid, but you have murderers and thieves, and they like with God, you know, that they. And then at the end of the speech, God bless America. What's God? What does it mean, God? The Torah says you can go to church. You can go to church, and you could listen to the drasha, and you could everything is like this, and then there's no inyan at all if the church of what was in church bechlal. Now chalila, there are Jews that could live like that too. You can go to the mikveh in the morning, you can go daven and shakel in a shul, and then you can, a half hour later you're at business, you're cheating somebody out of some money. Unfortunately, that's a split between olam hazan and olam haba. Person comes to the mikveh, it's a mechai olam haba. Person comes to shul, mechaya olam haba. Then he walks out of shul. That was olam haba. Now it's olam haza. What's an olam haza? Lying and stealing and cheating. That division is the source of all sheker in the world. A carbon shlama means a carbon for nayid. A Jewish carbon is There's no steer between the Meshulach taking a percentage and the yeshiva taking a percentage. That a Jew that's sitting and learning Bava Metzia is holy, and a Jew that's sitting in that's taking care and getting supper for his family, that's holy. The two worlds are not separated. That's the Hakdama that Rav Avner is bringing to help us understand what Rav Kook is talking about over here. And ultimately, of course, what Eretz Yisrael is, how could there be such a big inyan with some piece of earth, with some piece of dirt? Sof kol sof, it's a piece of dirt. What do we make such a big inyan with Eretz Yisrael? When one realizes that Olam Haz and Olam Haba are not at odds with each other. That's why Yaakov Avinu had that dream, and the Har Bayis came to him in that place. And that place is a Sula Mutzav Arzav Roshim Megiyah Shemayim. There's a heaven that's rooted on earth, but there's a ladder that's on earth, but it goes up to heaven. That's the Inyan. And that's the Inyan of Yaakov Avinu, which is Tiferes, which is Emes. And Emes means Shemayim and Arz. Avraham Avinu was very, very much in this world. Yitzchak Avinu was very much out of the world. And Yaakov Avinu is the two worlds coming together. That's Tiferes. That's Tiferes. So he says, Lumas Hashkofs Anasis. In contrast to the Hashkof of Christianity, Haminatekes ben Olam Hazeh, that separates between this world and the next world, this world and the other world. And Christianity teaches that building this world, to whatever extent you build this world and you get involved in this world, you're making a churban of the other world. You're destroying spirituality. Building physicality is the destruction of spirituality. Now, we'll see. The truth be told, there are comments that are found in Svarim that do sound like that. They have to be understood properly. There's a famous one in the Chavis Lavavis that sounds like that. But we'll talk about it. That building this world, when you're building up life in this world, it's on the expense of the other world, on Ruchnius. Gashmius is on the Cheshbon of Ruchnius. So you'll have this Mahalach has made its way into certain places, and so there'll be certain. You'll have a girl that will go to seminary, and the seminary will tell the girl that if you put on makeup, you know that if you put on makeup, it's mamish, a churban of Yiddishkeit. My mother was all upset. I went to see us. They show on the cover of the Jewish press this week. On the cover of the Jewish press, they show in Beit Shemesh, there are a bunch of frum people that are burning shaitels. When we were in Eretz Yisrael last year, Chanukah, they made a menorah of 8 sticks, and they put shaitels on top, long shaitels, and they put them on fire, and then there are a few hundred frum people dancing around and singing the burning of the shaitel ceremony. It's like something like people see this, it's so embarrassing. I wish they didn't know how they put on the picture. It's like Taliban. Looks like when people see this, looks like mom is like Taliban. You see these people with beards and the children, they're standing with payas, everybody's clapping, they're singing the burning of the shaitels. It's a silly thing. And there is a taina about how the shaitels are looking. There's a taina. And of course, there's a lack of tznius and that needs to be addressed. But this whole mahalach, you know, you get some impressionable girl and she goes to seminary and they tell her that unless you marry a person that's learning 24 hours, and then you're not really a Jew. You're not really a Jew. I don't know if any of you ever went to seminary, if you ever heard that shtus, that lie. Mamish is shtus in my role. Kilo, there's no Jew. And then you come back and you look at your father and say, like, what kind of a Jew is my father? He's the kind of Jew that pays for the people in the seminary to say those lies. That's the kind of person your father is. No? It's a little strong. That's the only kind of a Jew there is. That doesn't mean that we don't love the people who have the schus to learn all day. I've been doing that myself for a long time. I tried to do that, and we all tried to do that. That doesn't mean, God forbid, that there's something wrong with a Jew who works and learns. But you have these girls that come back all prepared. They got their notebooks and their tapes, and they got all this stuff, and they come back from seminary. Makeup is a bad thing. We have a certain kind of a shaitel is a bad thing, and all of these things, they picked up on this frequency. And the only true Jew that you could marry is somebody that's learning a kollel all day, and that you take some girl from Lawrence and you're going to put her in some little apartment someplace and say, no, this is really, really what's going to make you happy, to have clothing, like to dress in a potato sack and not to wear any makeup and to sit with a Tehillim and shuffle all day and to say to your husband who gets up at 10:30 and goes to daven somewhere shachris, to say to him, you're the greatest, kodesh, to your husband who's supposed to be learning all day. So Rachmanis, because a lot of the girls get very, very hurt by the disillusionment later on. If they end up marrying a guy that's Bemis is sitting and learning all day and he's at Talmud Chacham and he's an Eilech Chayit, it's a tremendous chus. But that picture that's being painted by many people whom are being supported by others and who live in nice apartments in Har Nof and other places because their parents paid for them, not all of them, but there are plenty that are like that, and they're painting this picture to the tzadkanias that come there for the year, that that if you really, really want to give Nachas Ruach Hashem, you have to bring a carbon oila. You have to put yourself on the mizbeach. Burn your shaitel, burn your makeup, burn your old dresses, burn everything, and you have to go on the mizbeach. Burn this world. You can't live in this world. You can't live in this world. Because if you're enjoying yourself in this world, and you have a nice house, and if you have nice clothing, it's on the cheshbon of Olam Haba. It's on the cheshbon of the next world. So a goy shakar. It's a carbon from a guy. It's a carbon from a guy. This whole mahal, this whole way of thinking, is not Jewish. It's not Jewish. We never lived this way. It was never mahalach for Klai Yisrael. It was a mahalach for Yechidim. It was never mahalach for Klai Yisrael. That if you ask this girl, like, why do you think your husband? Why do you only want to marry somebody that learns all day? I'm just curious. Why do you want to do that? What does it mean to learn all day? What is it? What is learning? You ever ask, what does it mean to learn? Why do you want someone who learns all day? Is there something wrong with a person that works and learns? Is there something wrong with such a person? Who told you that? Where does that come from? That there's something wrong with a Jew who's working and who's learning? Meaning a person who makes a living and he learns in the morning, he learns at night, just like all of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers did for the last couple of thousand years. Is there something wrong with that? So if you say you have a musug, you want to have a home, and you want your husband should be in chinuch, and you want to be and to have this kind of a house, that's beautiful. It's very idealistic. As long as you look at it in a positive way, because it's something extra that you would like in your life. But don't make it sound to your parents or to anybody else like anything other than this is not proper. It's not right. And any Jew that's not doing that is not a real Jew. It's Christianity. It's not Judaism. It's another religion. It makes no difference how religious the person looks who's saying it. It's not Judaism. It's bechlal. That's not Yiddishkeit. It's a tremendous ideal, and it's a very, very great and holy thing. If a person can do that, and if they're both the guy and the girl are ready for that, that's wonderful. And if they choose and they want to live that way, that's a very, very good thing. And if this person is serious about learning, and he can learn, and he understands what he's learning, and he's able to sit for 11, 12, 13 hours in a Beis HaMedrash and to learn, and the wife is able, she's happy doing that, and to help to provide, to help with the living and so on. Say that. That's beautiful. Not just say that. It's Ashreichem. It's very, very holy. But not everybody is in that place. It's a small miut of people that are really... That are in that place. It's a mute of people that are in that place. A minority that are in that place. And at some point, this lady, a lot of these girls, they turn around, and the ones that got into this whole thing, they turn around, they see the husband is not such a big Talmud Chacham, and they see that they're not so comfortable being in a potato sack when their sisters and sisters-in-law look all fashionable and nice, and they even see some rabbis that look pretty nice, and why am I dressed up like in this outfit? Well, because, you know, in Yerushalayim, they said this is the only way that you could dress up. So, and then they turn around. They have they're not so happy, and then sometimes they even start to go a little bit the other way, which I deal with over the years. To go mamish the other way, to dress mamish the other way, and to go against everything that's holy, and not even to forgive the husband to go to daven a mincha marav, because the mincha marav takes it on my cheshbon to go to mincha marav. Go the other way. The Baruch Shalom says to bring a carbon shlamim, And to know that when and a Jew knows that when he goes to work, he doesn't feel like he's doing something bad. When you're going to work, you're doing something that's holy. What that is and what that means, that's not, we're not going into right now, but that's something that's holy to go to work. It's not that you do now you're leaving the church and now you're doing something bad. You're leaving shul and you're doing something bad by going to work. If you think that you're doing something bad, so mimela, you might as well steal and cheat and lie. Because you're anyway doing a bad thing. You're doing a bad thing. So if you're doing a bad thing, you might as well go for it. You know, make the most you can, not learn at all, and cheat. It's anyway a bad thing. But if you understand that going to work is something which is holy, then you treat your employees or your employers, and you treat work as something which is kodesh. You treat it as something which is holy. And you're honest. You talk respectfully to the goyim that are there, to other workers. You treat people in a dignified way because you're still in shul. You understand? But if you look at your life as there was shul and now there's work, so then in shul is one thing. Then when I'm at work, I'm ready. Now that was Gan Eden, and now I'm in Gehenim. And in Gehenim, people treat each other Gehenim dick. So I could talk this way, I could act this way. So you could find a Jew that when he's in shul, he's at tzaddik, he sits and learns and davens, and then he's at work, he talks away to people, he treats goyim in a way that's terrible, and he makes a chil Hashem. It means nothing. Why? Because he has the good part of his life, that's olam haba, and then he has the olam hazeh. It's the olam hazeh. So the same guy sits in shul, and he davens beautifully, and he loves to learn, and he even says a shir, and he can go to a restaurant and eat a 12-course meal, and he forgets that there's a creator, and he gets himself, you know, a $500 bottle of wine with gold pieces in it or something. Like there's no God at all. Like he becomes a pagan. So he lives half. He lives in the morning. He's in the Beis HaMikdash in shul, and then the rest of the day he's in a pagan temple someplace. That's the shurish of that is the meaning of Christianity. That's the shurish of Christianity. You need to understand how it has affected us, this way of thinking. Now I'm asking nobody to go out here and say. I heard the Rav Arming says that a kollel is something which is Christian. Because there's always at least one shaita that comes out in such a maskanda. You know? That's the opposite, God forbid. Kollel is holy. Learning Torah is the holiest thing in the world. But when that begins to create this separation between kodesh and chol, that a Jew can't imagine that Jews who are working are respectable people, and that there's something holy about how you eat and how you talk and how you carry yourself. Then you have a sad situation where you could have some guy that's a real yeshiva bacher, but he doesn't know how to talk. One of the Chavadjah showed me something from Aaron Lichtenstein, that he was saying something from his father-in-law, from Rabbi Yosher Ber, that there was a, I don't remember the exact, there was a, this happened in Eretz Yisrael, there were a group of, there was a chevra of non-religious people, of chilonim, of older people, and they had to load a truck or something, I don't remember, I think it was loading a truck. There were some chilonim trying to load a truck, and there were older people trying to put things on. And there were some yeshiva bachim that were going by, and the yeshiva bachim had a whole shmuz amongst each other. They were talking about, is there a mitzvah of pre-kantina, of azav tazav, is there a mitzvah to help a non-religious Jew load the truck? Mm-hmm. And this happened. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein apparently saw this, that they were going back and forth. I'm a toises, I need this, I need pass like that, and it's like my brother Mitzi and Babasum, Babakam. And the guys are talking and learning in there. And the Rabbi Aaron, I might be getting this a little bit wrong, I remember it was Rabbi Aaron himself, I think it was Rabbi Aaron, he asked his father-in-law, he spoke to his father-in-law about this, and his father-in-law said that there used to be Jews that didn't know the Gemara Bava Mitzvah, but they just helped people load their trucks. And he said, if you ask me which is better, this is what Rabbi Aaron said, I think that in the name of his father-in-law, which is better? A person who knows Bav Mitzia but doesn't help the person load the truck, or someone that doesn't know Bav Mitzia and just naturally goes and helps somebody with this truck, that the Rav said, I'll take the second guy. Give me the second guy. Give me the second guy. I told you, I was in a mikveh someplace. It was a very tiny mikveh. And there was an old man, a very old man, that was trying to get his clothing, put himself back, you know, together. And there's a yeshiva bacha sitting on the bench with a towel over his place. He's sitting on the bench, and he's like, you know, he's got his eyes closed a little bit, and he's relaxing, and then he starts to check his nails. He's doing like the full mikveh experience, you know what I'm saying? He's sitting there. And this old guy is standing next to him. It's a tiny place, and there's no other place to sit. And this bacher is sitting there, and he's doing this whole thing with his look. And he's not getting dressed. He's sitting there, and the old man is trying to put on his pants. And he's, you know, Mamish was an old guy, and the bacher is sitting there. And I said to him, "Get up! What are you sitting there? What's the matter with you?" She says to me, "Ah! You hold it's a mitzvah. You hold it's a mitzvah to get up. You hold it." I said, "Just get up!" And I helped the old man sit down. And then he says to me, the bacher says to me, "Oh, you're some kind of Rosh Hashiva?" "You're a Rosh Hashiva?" I said, "Rosh Hashiva? No, I'm just a normal person. What's the matter with you? Don't you see that this old guy can't get himself dressed? What are you sitting there looking at your nails like that?" You hold it. Who are your parents? Who made this? How did this happen to Yeshiva Bacher? Like, what happened to this guy? You're a Rosh Hashiva? What, a Rosh Hashiva? You have to be Rosh Hashiva? Just to tell somebody to get up out of your chair, there's somebody here, an old man? How could such a thing happen? See, the mikveh, it's a mechaya, the mikveh. That's what Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was saying, that Rav Yeshiva said, "Give me the guy that just helps the people with the truck. He doesn't know that there's a machlaikas, if he's showing him." Do you think either the Rambam or the Ravid wouldn't have helped the person? Both the Rambam and Ravid would have helped the people load the truck. And I don't remember if he said what the maskana was, but it could be it was already too late. The truck was already, you know, it was already full. I don't know. But this is something that comes from this split of, like, did you miss what the Torah is about? Did you miss what the yeshiva is teaching you? Like, how did you miss that? How did you not get that? That the whole tachlis of Torah is that you should help these people with their law, even if they're not Jewish. The whole tachlis of Torah is what's the matter with you? How did you miss that? How did that happen? That's the feeling that I have when there's a picture of people burning shaitels, all these people are learning yeshiva all day long. How did you miss that? You're not happy with the situation with the long shaitels? Okay, then don't get one. Or something. But you're going in public and making, and everybody's taking pictures. They're all standing there making selfies and taking pictures and like and burning shaitels, like how people would burn Bibles crazy people do these things, burning books and burning shaitels. It looked like crazy people to think. How did the yeshivas produce that? How did that come out of the yeshiva, such a thing? How could there be such a thing? How did that happen? But something is wrong. Of course, we're talking about a miyut, shabbat miyut. That's not, God forbid. Like, everybody comes out like this, percentage comes out like that. But how could there be such a thing? And how come people are not screaming and yelling about this? How come they're not making a protest now in Yerushalayim to put an end to such insanity, to stop these kind of things? How come nobody's telling these people to stop doing these things? How come the gedolim are not going over there and to say, "Get out of here," and to give them a hose and to stop putting out the fire? How come nobody's doing that? Everybody's taking pictures, and it's like Kilo, there's some sort of a way of Yiddishkeit to be that way. There's no such thing in Yiddishkeit like that. The tzaddikim never lived such a way. It's a whole different way of living. That's what's going on. Binyan Olam Hazeh, Churban Olam Haba. Binyan Olam Hazeh, there's this thing that somehow comes out, that building this world and living as a person in this world is a Churban of the other world. In other words, Gashmius is a churban of Ruchnius. That's not Jewish. Even though we'll see there is a sentence or two here and there that sounds like that, but it has to be taken in context. when you learn the Chavos Levavos, you understand what he's saying. But it's not that that's not a way of life. And it's the opposite. That if you really want to build the Olam Haba, in other words, if you really, really want to have a good Gan Eden, and you want to have a beautiful Olam Haba, then you have to destroy Olam Hazeh. That's what came from it. Then you have to destroy Olam Hazeh. So if you really, really want to be a kosher, now you have, it used to be, years ago in Yerushalayim, you would see one woman walking around with a burqa. When I was in Yerushalayim a few months ago, so I was waiting for my wife. I was, you know where Breslev is in the Meir Sharm? So I was waiting there to meet her. She was coming. She was shopping, and I was waiting there. I daven minch, and I was waiting for her to come. And I was just, because I stood there by the corner, you know where that is, but there's a swarm stone over there by Breslev, and I was standing over there, and I was waiting for my wife. I tell you, I was waiting for around a half hour. I really saw around like 20 of these ladies with burqas go by. Like the full, you know, the black thing from head to toe. What's happening? The beginning I said, okay, there are like one or two crazy people that are doing this. What is it with these? It's not just one or two anymore. You know what I'm talking about. You see, they're around. This is like picking up steam. This inning of covering like a Muslim to cover such a, to go in such a way. And then not only that, I see them walking with their little kids, and they're dressing their little girls like that too. What's going to be with that kid? It's hard enough to have normal kids that are wearing regular clothing. What's going to be with that? What's going to be with that little girl? It's a little Jewish girl. She's and the mother puts on the whole thing. What's going to be with her? Who are these people? What are they doing? Who's telling them this stuff? Where do they get that from? I don't know who their rebbeim are. I don't know who's telling them this stuff. Since when is it that a Jew? What, the Rambam's Rebbetzin who dressed like that? Who dresses like that? Where is that? Because if you really want to be a tzanua and you really want to be a ruchniyistika person, you cover yourself completely. It's apikarsis. It's kfir. It's a kfir b'tayra. That's not teres maisha. Moshe Rabbeinu's Rebbetzin didn't dress like that either. So what are they doing that? I personally think that they all must be sexually deviant people. They must have terrible, crazy hang-ups and all kinds of inyonim, and would give a lot of pranosa to therapists if they had the money. It's a terrible rachmanis. It's a terrible rachmanis. What kind of a sickness? What kind of a sickness is that to dress that way? All it means is I want everybody to look at me. You understand? I want everybody to look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Every single one of the women that are wearing that, they're saying, "Do you see me? Do you see me? Look at me." It's the opposite of sneeze. I want you to look at me. And but the Torah of that is that there's Olam Haba and there's Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh, we have to ruin Olam Hazeh. You have to take away Olam Hazeh, and only if you take away Olam Hazeh, then you have really an Olam Haba. That's not Jewish. V'chein l'hepach. Ulumas ha'hashkofa ha-materialist is she'klal einem misanyenes b'olam haba. Then you have the other extreme of materialism that has no interest in olam haba at all. Lose yourself in olam haba. This one loses himself in olam haba. That's what you had. So the nun, the priest, everything is olam haba. They live in a convent. You don't get married. Everything is holy. And then there, what about the peasant outside the convent? Low, 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 low. Everything is the lowest, the lowest, the lowest. Poland, you know, 1550. The lowest, the lowest, the lowest. That's, or Poland, 2019. The lowest, the lowest, the lowest. Shekla'enim is ayen, and shekla'enim is anyenis, b'olam haba. There's no interest in olam haba, no interest in ruchnius. No interest in ruchnius. Therefore, there's no stira. The president or anybody else could do every affair in the world, and he can close his eyes and say, you know, God bless America. Man, it doesn't mean anything. There's no mitzvahs. There's no mitzvahs. Laf bezel v'cholasipurim odas kedusha v'ruchnius. Neshi gares. Therefore, to them, all of ruchnius and olam haba, it's all bubba maises. There's no such thing. There's no olam haba. There's no ruchnius. All there is what you could touch and what you could see. Rav Neishi Gares says, Masharoim Yeshno, what you see exists, and Masharoim Enokayim. And what you don't see doesn't exist. That comes from the church. That comes from Christianity. And Rav Kook in his Rambam, some of you might remember, in the Iris and other places, Rav Kook saw this as saw the beginnings of this in Adas Kairach, in Kairach. He saw the beginnings of this of Kairach. Because Kairach was saying, Kol ha'am kulam, kol ha'edah kulam kadoishim v'sarechim Hashem, maduot tisnasu ha'kal Hashem, everybody should be kahanim. Who are you to make it? Right? Kol ha'edah, kol ha'edah kulam kadoishim v'sarechim Hashem, kulam kadoishim v'sarechim Hashem, this whole lineage of Kairach. Maduot tisnasu ha'kal Hashem, so Rav Kook called it Karachius. He called the beginnings of Christianity, it was in Kairach. Karachius. It's kind of a split. The way that he made that he, and the way Kairach was saying, either I'm a kohen, and if I'm not a kohen, I'm not going this. Either we're kahanim or we're nothing. Oh, either you're in kohel, you're a garnish. Either you're a kohen, you're a garnish. So Kairach wanted to say, everybody's a kohen. I'm a kohen. Well, who made you into a kohen? What do you mean? You could only be a Jew if you're a kohen. Who said that you could only be a Jew if you're a kohen? That's Karachis. That's Christianity. The only real Christian is a galach, is a priest. The rest are peasants. The only real Jew is a kohen. The rest are peasants. So Kairach said, I want kohuna. And Moshe Ben Aaron was saying, it's not Yiddishkeit. What are you talking about? It's something else. It's not Yiddishkeit. Somebody told you that you can't. You have to be a kohen. In order to be a Jew, you have to be a kohen. Where does it say such a thing? Why do you have to be a kohen? Why can't you be Yisrael? Why can't you go to work? What do you have to be in the Beis HaMikdash? The only Jew is a Jew in the Beis HaMikdash? What if you don't work in the Beis HaMikdash? What if you work in Manhattan? Then you can't be a Jew? No, only in the Beis HaMikdash you can be a Jew. The only Jews are the ones in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the beginning with Kairach, you understand? That's Christianity. The only holy person is if you're in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're in the Lahavdil, if you're in the convent, you're in the monastery, then you're a holy person. What about the rest of the Olam? The rest of the Olam. It's disgusting. That's the mistake. That's the beginning of the mistake. I will continue. Not going to have a shiur next week.